Winches and scallywags, rugrats over 18 years of age, prudes, avert your ears and eyes. The Asylum Studio brings to you a show to bend your mind and implode your morals. Ethics be damned. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Chaos and Disorder.
A little less of a disaster getting started this week. Maybe Finkelstein has learned a little something from his suspension, but there he is.
I think he's more sober right now than normal. He had to work late.
Oh, so he didn't get the prerequisite six-pack in before the show started.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, so speaking of the show, welcome on into Chaos and Disorder. I am your host, the talent, Mr. Rick Flieger, along with my octogenarian friend, Rick Briggs. Check out the show on the tweeters at Chaos and Disorder and on Facebook, Chaos and Disorder Podcast.com. Let's try that again.
Please.
Chaos and Disorder Podcast on the Facebook. And of course, if you want to be a part of the show, head over to the Gmail, chaosanddisorderpod@gmail.com. That was a butchered, terrible start.
Thank you, Mr. Talent, Woo! For the smooth Woo! Intro. Thank God we have Andy Frampton to actually bring the show in. You can find him on Facebook and TikTok at Bronco Swanson. And thank you to Rival Lovers for all our great music. You can find them on Bandcamp and on the Twitter at Real Rival Lovers.
So here we sit on a Tuesday night, two more Elite Eight games coming. I was griping about the schedule. I was really mad about it on Thursday and Friday, but I kind of liked having the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 over the weekend, every game in its own window.
Right.
The Elite Eight on a Monday and Tuesday gives me something to do. And I'll tell you what, after a wild beginning, it's kind of shaken out, just chalk heading into the Final Four.
Yeah, it was. I tell you what, that Oral Roberts game was a
great basketball game.
It was a very good game. But, yeah, you're right. What is that? Baylor's in there. Three number ones left? Baylor, Gonzaga, and
Michigan's still hanging around. They play tonight. I think they smack around UCLA. Gonzaga's just going to humiliate USC tonight. I think we're going to be pretty chalky in the Final Fours. We'll have three ones and a two in all likelihood.
What is it? Baylor-Houston should be
an interesting game.
That should be a very interesting game.
Baylor, much, much more athletic. Obviously, mm-hmm. much better offensively, but Houston plays. I mean, Houston looks like mid-80s Big East the way they play defense. I mean, take the under. Don't worry about the line. Just take the under and what.
Right.
So that'll be an interesting match. I think ultimately, and I think we said this last week, I think after all the insanity, the two best teams this year clearly were Gonzaga and Baylor, and I think that's what we end up with. But Houston's a wild card. With those defensive-minded teams, that's what they do, and you can hold a team in the 50s. You have a chance to win every single game like that. You also have a chance to lose every single game like that. But I'll tell you what, Gonzaga's a freaking freight train. You know, we tell every year the week conference, the week schedule. Look, they played everybody who would play them in November. Most teams in this tournament – put up 100 on some of them. I just don't know. I have a hard time envisioning anyone derailing them.
But there's one thing that very much came to light as the tournament went on. And all the gurus that kept touting the power of the Big Ten.
Whoa, yeah. I don't count myself a guru, but I spent 20 minutes singing their praises when we did our bracket reveals.
It is, yeah. And look, I mean, it stood to reason. It looked like they were playing the best competition, you know, game in and game out. But you look at USC, you look at UCLA, the two Oregon schools had
the
great
Pac-12,
tournament.
The Pac-12, how, yeah. Why? This one's stunning to me, you know, and they had the slow start because of the different rules in California and the way the COVID situation was handled out west. I don't know if they're just sort of hitting their stride. I can't explain it, how the Big Ten – the ACC was down all year, but when you look at this tournament, how poor the Big Ten and ACC performed in the Pac-12, wow. I mean, certainly they were underseeded. I think we know that now. They were underseeded.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's touch on our contest before we Right now, the top three are a Lucky Tyler Beer is what it says on his entry.
Well, we should have known. He had Lucky right in his name.
He is sitting right now at a total of 750. Only 10 points behind is Kevin Burns at 740. And in the third spot is Will Jones at 720. And interestingly, they all three have a different champion. So they are all very much alive as long as somebody stays alive.
Who's their – are all their champions still alive?
Lucky Tyler has Houston for the champion. Kevin Burns has Michigan for the champion, and Will Jones has Baylor for the champion.
Oh, so nobody has Gonzaga, so that'll be...
The highest-ranked one with Gonzaga as champion is Trevor Perkins, who is in sixth position right now. So, I mean, probably not out of it, depending on how it shakes out, obviously.
You know what I like about that list? I've never heard of any of those people. So many times in our past, we've run contests, and it was only the 12 same dickheads we talked to all the time otherwise. So I like that.
Let's find our...
Perhaps chaos and disorder is expanding.
Oh, there's...
Or we just tweeted out a bunch about a free $100 and total strangers who never have and never will listen to this show entered, which is good, too. I mean, I'd like them to listen more.
I'm looking right now, tied for 22nd is our illustrious producer, Alejandro, with a total of 530 points. The problem is he can only get 610, even if he gets everything heading out.
So I think you're eliminated then, is what he's trying to say.
Yay! I am right now in tied for 12th position. I have Baylor. I don't think I can win, probably because of some of the guys ahead of us. I'm not
guys ahead of you have Baylor. You've got nothing.
Well, it depends on the final four games and so forth too. But I don't know what theirs are because I can't see their.
Well, I'm pretty sure Baylor's still going to win in their final four games as well. See, that's how they'll get to the championship.
Well, yeah, but it could. They could have like I have Baylor, Michigan. Somebody could have Baylor, Gonzaga, something of that nature. So you just never can tell. Yeah. But
well, it's going to be
Baylor,
Gonzaga.
I think those four that we mentioned are the ones.
Yeah, that's where it is. So we'll have to. That'll be the most fun part. So that'll be what, a week from yesterday will be the championship game. Seeing how bad the producer butchers up getting these people's contact information so that they can be sent their prizes.
He's probably already been on it, right?
You think?
Oh, yeah.
That's what history would dictate. He's already got it all taken care of.
He's got the wheel all oiled up and raring to go.
Oh, no. Tell me the wheel isn't back.
It's more like it. He set it on fire.
Oh.
It's here.
Oh, it's here?
It's here.
In pieces and charred.
No, it's not. It is ready for use.
Yeah, I miss the wheel. Actually.
Everybody does.
You don't miss
calls.
The wheel.
No, I miss the wheel itself. I don't miss the nonsense that comes on the wheel. Like, the actual wheel is fun. Spinning it. Maybe we just spin the wheel now. I do miss that.
Yeah. The music's very nice.
Oh, man.
What are you?
So close.
Yeah. So close for a clean joke, but we blew it again.
Hey, but the NCAA tournament, Rick, wasn't the biggest basketball news of the weekend, however. I bet you don't know that. And what is a true Hoosier story, Rick? A band of ragtag farm kids coached by an ornery yet basketball genius traveled down to Pittsburgh. School, the organization's called Primetime. Okay. This ragtag group of farm children, hillbillies, walks down and wins the College Basketball Prospects of America 8th grade Adidas Tip-Off Championship. That's right. Your boy brought home the title, Rick. So congratulate me.
Yay!
I thought you said Indiana people did.
Oh.
What?
I'm on it.
What does that mean? Nobody said Indiana.
I thought you said a ragtag bunch of farmers from Indiana.
No, that's not what I said. But I said it's a true Hoosier story. That put Indiana in your old gin-soaked mind, and you couldn't get out of it, and you still haven't congratulated me.
Congratulations, Mr. Flieger. I am extremely proud of you.
I mean, I'm basically
Did
Bobby
your
Knight.
Play
well,
on
of course
the team?
She does. Yeah.
How many points does she have? I mean, let's brag up the offspring here.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know how many points she scored. Because that's not what we worry about at prime time.
No, you worry about bragging about you.
We play defense.
That's
we
what we
shut
do.
Them down.
We worry about bragging about ourselves.
Well, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was all me. Yeah.
Your great leadership.
Yeah,
obviously.
That's exactly what I mean. I'm essentially Mike Krzyzewski when you boil it down, and so I'm to be commended
you
for
do
my
have
tremendous
kind of
effort.
Weird little wrinkly nose.
Do I?
Yeah.
I've never thought about my nose.
Yeah.
I always worried about that because my granddad had the kind of nose you'd huddle under when it rained, and so I was glad I didn't get that.
It was like all red and everything from drinking?
Yeah, he wasn't a drinker. Not that grandfather. The other one could get after it, but not this, not the big-nosed one.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing because they might have mistaken him for Rudolph.
It's possible, but I don't know why anyone would do that.
Well, you just never know if it's glowing on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So we're going to do Rudolph shtick the rest of the show? Is that the direction we're headed here?
No, I just thought that
Christmas
was a nice
button,
one right
sorry.
Now.
Yeah, don't you have a Christmas button? You missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, but that was Santa Claus, and I just didn't want to use it right now. Because it is 70 degrees. It just doesn't feel that
well,
way
it's going
right
to be 30
now.
Tomorrow,
yeah,
so you'll be right back into it. So.
No.
Do you
well,
see the end?
Congratulations! That's a great thing to
that is.
To bring back the you're chaos going, and disorder. Are you going to get like a trophy or
there's actually a T-shirt is what we got, and so it was kind of cool. It was like a real life.
You could put it right here.
That's what I'm thinking. It was like a real life scenario where the game ends. They're jumping around, then they hand us T-shirts and taking the pictures. I wish there were hats, but I don't want to get greedy.
Did you take
get
the net
a ladder
down?
And cut the
no,
nets
I thought about. We were at Sewickley Academy. I couldn't afford the nets they have hung there if I had to replace it. Because I'm sure they're laced with gold and seal eyes or something.
Yeah, no doubt.
I would think a seal eye would be expensive because they're very rare and people like them.
And
I could be wrong.
Adorable.
Yeah. Well, I never got that. They look all slimy and weird.
I know Freddie Mercury was sure a cute little seal.
Oh, I forgot. But he's dead, right?
Yeah, he kept trying to die, and he finally did.
Suicidal seal.
Yeah.
That's a band name.
No, it's not.
No, I mean like it should be.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you had any musical talent, maybe you could start that. Maybe Rival Lovers can hook you up.
I'll talk to him. See what's up.
Work on that. Did you see the end of the Baylor-UConn women's game yesterday?
I did.
Just got job. That's foul.
Yeah.
I get verticality, but you can't be vertical and 45 degrees at the same time.
Right. And
But Oriem is going to get that call every time. Every time. You just got to know it.
But, you're absolutely right. But still, didn't it just feel like a real job?
It did. I mean, that's an in-the-moment call. I actually don't hate maybe if it wasn't the Goliath, if it was the opposite in Baylor, not that Baylor's David in this scenario, but in this scenario they are. I might have felt different the other way. It's a foul. Generally, I guess I don't mind them swallowing the whistles at the end, but I think where you have to, a little bit of body, a little bump would be one thing, but you got to let them get the shot off. If the foul completely impedes the shot, then I think you have to make that call. It sets up for that nightmare scenario for any basketball player there where she'd had to stand at the foul line with two shots to tie. We saw that the inability to hit foul shots eliminated Alabama.
Right.
On what was it? Yesterday, right? Or no, over the weekend.
2 days ago.
The weekend. So, but I think the biggest story with that one, did you see Kim Mularkey, their head coach, in the presser afterwards? Did you see or hear all that?
I just saw a snippet of it. I didn't see the whole thing.
Yeah, but essentially said didn't talk about what I saw, I assume talked about the no call and things like that, but talked about the COVID protocols and heading into the Final Four and how in her opinion they should just stop testing the players to ensure that the Final Four goes off and nobody who's earned that right misses out on the opportunity. And, of course, people are losing their minds over her saying this. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know how I feel about it, but what a cool way to distract from everything else going on. Because you say something like that, people lose it, and it's been a lot of fun reading that on the tweeters today.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I mean, there was all kinds of strange still photographs floating around, on Twitter.
Oh, with the mask up over her eye and stuff. Yeah, I don't know what was up with the mask, if she's against the mask, or just she was so mad she didn't know what to do with her hands. I've been in that situation before.
I don't know, but it brought to mind, you know, kind of like the old what-if scenarios. What if, like, Bob Knight, Woody Hayes, Bear Bryant, some of these guys were coaching during, like, this COVID
thing.
I mean,
well, you saw a lot of it with Bob Huggins, right? And Pat Forty was losing his mind because Huggins wasn't wearing his mask or wasn't wearing it right. Forty put out that tweet. It was Huggins. I think there was two other that Forty and his infinite wisdom deemed weren't mask compliant enough, and he was happy they were eliminated and actually postulated in a tweet that was the reason. That was the reason they were eliminated was karma for lack of mask compliance. So he's a little too far the other direction. Yeah, but I'd love Bob Knight. He sits down and some pinheaded reporter asks him to pull his mask up so they feel safe. That'd be John Chaney. Can you imagine telling John Chaney that? He'd go full John Calipari right on. But it does make you wonder, you know, as you look at this, supposedly it seems this thing mercifully is coming to an end. I have a hard time envisioning a scenario where these leagues, these schools, there's maybe even more in the college, but even the pro leagues say, all right, we feel comfortable now. We're just going to stop testing. You know, I wonder what the long-term effect of this, because players are still going to get sick. Right. So we decide, let's just say July 4th, we decide COVID's over. Yay, hooray, have the parade. Going forward, we don't have to worry about it. But then we get into fall and kids just start getting sick where they used to play with the flu. They used to play with a cold. Do these testing protocols ever go? They have to, right? We can't do this forever.
Well, they've instilled so much fear in the populace. It's going to take time to wear off, but you know, I put this to you, if they've deemed that everybody is vaccinated for COVID, I mean, people get flu shots every year, but they still get the flu.
Right.
So, I mean, is it just going to be like a, you know, you may get a case of it, but so what? You're vaccinated.
Well, that's what I don't.
You just feel crappy for a couple of days and you'll be all right. I mean, I'm with you. You can't just run around like Chicken Little for the next 50 years.
That's what I think. You know, you look at these sports leagues and you look at these schools, the money they're talking about, it's cost to do this daily, or I don't know how often they did it, say, in NCAA basketball, but in the NFL, this daily testing, that is a massive expense. And maybe it's just because we're still in the middle of it and coming out of this lunatic of a year it was. I can't envision the day where they just stop doing this because, you know, they've taken the stand that one person gets this, one college athlete comes down with COVID, 10,000 grandmothers drop dead in the streets right where they're standing. I know I'm being absurd here, and the people who are really into the coronavirus are going to be pissed off at me for saying this, but this is what we've put out there into the ether. How does a commissioner, how does a school, how does a conference stand up and say, well, we don't have to worry about that anymore? I just can't envision it right now.
Well, we saw when it started, when the NCAA hadn't done anything,
right,
and conferences were saying, hey, I don't care if we're in the NCAA or not, we're not playing.
Yeah.
And then another conference says, well, we're not playing either. You know, and other ones might say, well, we are. You know, so I think it's going to be kind of that going back the other way. You know, hey, you know what? This stuff's over. This shit's over, right?
Right.
Yeah, we're going to start bringing people into the stadiums or the arena, whatever the case may be. And sooner or later, it'll get back to normal, but when that is,
I don't think it's
going to
be this coming season, even if this thing, you know, does what they say, and with the vaccinations, you know, by July, it's pretty much good.
And yet,
but come fall, next season,
I was on the internet today, and I see this headline. And this is honest to God truth, but this is the headline. The fourth wave of COVID is pounding the U.S. hard.
No shit.
I didn't even know there was a third.
Well, so that would have meant the third was the one in January, which was pretty gnarly. So what was the second one?
I don't know.
And
maybe
we're getting
the
pounded.
Last summer? I don't know.
We're getting pounded now? I thought things were good now.
Apparently not. Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's the narrative on one, maybe on one source.
Well,
another source is optimistic, so who knows?
Florida's getting hammered right now.
Are they really getting hammered, or is this that shame on people for going outside hammered?
A little bit of both, because it's post-spring break.
Well, yeah, spring break.
Right. So that's...
Well, that's what I wonder, because some people out there in the sports media, the Pat Fortys of the world, the Darren Revels of the world, were praying 10 million college students in Florida would die, so they could have been right. Yeah, you know, look, I don't want to be the, you know, I'm not a science denier. You know, look, I take it seriously, but we've gone too far the other direction as well, and it does bother me that there's a segment of not just our population, but specifically for me, where my mind works, our sports media, hoping for big waves and hoping for mass deaths amongst, you know, young communities just so they can say, see, I told you so, which seems to happen a lot.
Well, and that's the thing. There's too much of the, see, I told you so wannabes out there because they just want to be right and heard. And you know what? If you're wrong, it's not a big deal. You know, you're wrong more than you're right most time anyway, you boobs. So don't worry about
it. Well, me, certainly.
All of us, let's face it. If you're into any type of prognostication, there's very few that's probably a real live guru.
Yeah, after all my success in the MAC championship on FanDuel that led to the prize money for this bracket contest, I've given it all back on the NCAA tournament. I may be wearing a barrel in here for the next show.
Well, you were so ashamed of your brackets, you didn't even enter them
in our group. I still don't know how that happened. I'd be curious what my score is. I may be able to find it.
Probably
It's not good. I had Illinois winning the thing.
Yeah,
that's true. I had Purdue in the Final Four. They went out in the first round. So it's probably best not to know.
Probably not. You probably have it somewhere.
Well, yeah, it's saved on ESPN.
Right.
It's just not in our – well, what I don't understand is I accessed to create the bracket through our link, so why it didn't tie in
– that's true. Who knows?
In my defense, I had to do it really quick last minute because some rum-dum changed it on us at the very last possible second, and I panicked and got in a hurry.
You know, it kind of reminded me of our – League of Consequence in fantasy football,
where
the previous commissioner had a site. If you recall, I think in week one, the site that he had crashed, and like we had no idea anybody's score for like days.
It was like the old days where you had to go in the newspaper and add it. But what was it? Was it Fox Sports came out with their own?
It might have been Fox.
One of the big companies came out with their own, and everybody jumped ship to it, and then it just shit the bed week one, and it never recovered.
Wasn't it Yahoo?
It might have been. It was either Yahoo or
was
Fox.
Was it Yahoo? I played on Yahoo long before that
Fox.
League.
I'm thinking it was Fox.
I'm thinking so, too. And to my mind, they still don't have one. I guess they just decided, well, we tried.
Man, everybody's going to NFL or CBS or whatever.
Because I always thought Yahoo sucked, but I played in leagues long before.
Right.
Because there was a time when CBS Sportsline, that was the good one, right? Before NFL created theirs and ESPN, there was CBS Sportsline. And then Yahoo came out. They were about the only two, at least the two mainstream ones. And then they started. Remember, it went from free to CBS Sportsline went from free to then they charge you $150. And this was 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. They wanted to bang you for $150.
Well, that's why NFL put theirs out, because they are the ones that designed CBS's in the first place.
Oh, is that a fact? I didn't know that.
It is. And then I guess they weren't getting royalties, they like sold it to them just outright. So then they made some minor changes, got their own, said, here, come on over here, it's free.
Well, and I like what they're doing with the NFL one now. You can just get on and watch live games on that app. Like, I've watched the Steeler. It's the in-market and the national games, I think, is what it is. And then they have an option, too, and I'm going to take advantage of this one next year if I can be smart enough to figure out how to make it cast to my TV. I've never perfected that technology, that you can get the Red Zone channel for some ridiculously cheap amount out through that app. And what I do now, because I have DirecTV, the only way you can get the Red Zone is through the NFL package on DirecTV.
Right.
That bastard's like $400. And at first, I was all excited about it. I bought it the first 2 years and found out I was only watching Red Zone. You know, I have 900 channels of live games on.
Right.
Never go to them because I'm locked in on
the Red Zone.
So what I did, I stopped doing the NFL ticket, and I start. Then I pay for Sling $30 a month during football season because it has the Red Zone on it, and it's still cheaper than the NFL. But now this one on the app's even cheaper than that. So I'm gaming the system, buddy. I'm getting after it.
Yeah, I've got the YouTube TV, and I got Red Zone.
Is that part of the
Well, you can get a little package, but it's only like another, I don't know what it is, like $10.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something like that.
So is that all you have? You don't have cable or anything?
No, I have YouTube TV. I have Netflix.
Does that drive you insane?
Hulu. Oh, no. I mean, I
like for live TV.
Pardon me?
But for live TV. Doesn't it drive you nuts?
No, YouTube is television.
Well, no, thank you. I understand
but
that.
Like,
what I'm saying
is it's live TV.
Until that streaming shit, when I can sit
down,
I
know what you're saying.
Turn on my TV.
You don't turn it on in the channel that
right.
come up. No, it just comes up.
Yeah.
And then you just hit the thing, you know, and there's like two or three accounts on there, like my daughter
and
myself.
That's insufferable to me.
And then you just hit you, and then it comes up to like YouTube TV, and then you just start scrolling through the channels.
Well, I get that. It doesn't drive you nuts.
Yeah.
It doesn't drive you insane.
No.
Or how far behind it lags, like when you're watching live sports.
I don't know if you're watching live sports, if it's lagging behind or not,
oh,
because that's all I'm watching. So, I mean, how, you know.
Well, don't be on Twitter while you're watching a game.
Well,
you're
going
to see something happen on Twitter, and then 18 minutes later, it's going to
show
up on your TV.
There's nothing worse to me than all of these people that are supposed, like, football fanatics that get on Twitter and write, "Great catch by Antonio Brown." Well, all the people he's tweeting to are watching the damn game anyway. So, I mean, why is he? Who's he telling?
You know who bothers me more? It's the guy, you're supposed to know him so well, you know what game he's watching, and the guy who will just tweet every 8 seconds will just say, "Great run."
Oh, yeah.
Big pass.
Yeah.
Wow, what a sack.
You know, yeah.
First
what
of all,
a defensive struggle.
Yeah. First
right.
of all, I don't know what game you're watching. Second of all,
I don't
shut
care.
Up.
Yeah. Right.
I hate that guy on Twitter.
But speaking of the NFL.
All right.
Let's go over this trade that happened Friday real quick.
All right.
And it was the Niners, the Dolphins, and the Eagles agreed to two separate trades that completely altered the draft, basically. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have.
Okay. But for the people that haven't, Alejandro, I'm sure, hasn't because he was diapering his daughter. San Francisco acquired the number 3 overall pick from Miami in exchange for the number 12 overall pick, a third round pick in 22, a first round pick in 22, and a first round pick in 23. Wow.
That's big for how many? 9 spots?
Well, yeah. I mean, Miami is loading up. Then the Dolphins traded back up to number 6 with Philadelphia, sending the Eagles their number 12 pick, a fourth rounder, and that 22 first rounder. One of those two. Say which one.
Doesn't matter.
But, and then they also get back, Miami also gets back a fifth round pick this year.
So it's a huge haul. Yeah, what Miami's doing right. If they don't botch this up, I mean, essentially they turned that Laremy Tunsil trade into 9 first-round picks,
right.
It feels like. Somebody, I've seen it broken down online.
Wonder
exactly.
How Houston feels about that.
Houston ought to be thrown from the league. They ought to be, what do they call it in soccer when you're not good enough and you go to the lower thing? Relegated. They ought to be relegated to the XFL. I've heard that's coming back or so. That's such an embarrassing last couple of seasons they've had. So it tells you a couple things, right, which is interesting. Obviously, San Francisco is going after a quarterback. Fields, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess Fields ran a 4.4 today, which he had slid down into the 20s in mock drafts. Then he ran a 4.4. Now he's back up in the top 10, and people think he's going to say, you know how I feel about the combine and the draft or everything. But you wonder what happens with Jimmy G. Obviously, so I actually know. I guarantee he's going to New England, and here's why. Because when that move was first made and it became obvious, all right, Jimmy G's days are about done in San Francisco – everyone, including myself, says, well, he's going back to New England. You know, Belichick let him go very begrudgingly, always viewed him as the next Brady, except Brady wouldn't leave and wouldn't start sucking.
And wouldn't lose.
Somehow disappointingly to Bill Belichick because it messed with his plan. And then immediately, or within 24 hours, the reports come out, New England not expected to be in play for Jimmy Garoppolo, which tells me 1,000% New England is in play for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
So I think we see that move. You know, I don't know what Miami's going to do. You assume they're set with Tua. You know, I think making this move says there was some question they might go grab another one and try to move Tua. By making that move, they're set there. So I don't know what they're looking for at six, if it's one of those wide receivers or what it is. I mean, who was it they brought in? They brought in a wide receiver through free agency. My mind just went blank.
Yeah, and I don't.
I wanted to say
that
Megatron.
Either. Do they
but
think Pitts will fall to six?
Maybe Pitts might be. That'd be.
You know, I think a lot hinges also on the Jets. Do they deal Darnold and take a quarterback at number two, or do they go whatever offensive line, something of that nature, to help Darnold out? I mean, I think that's significant because, you know, I don't really like the pro day either. But I was watching some of Mac Jones stuff, and he went from too small to be successful to the number three quarterback in the draft. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn today.
Oh, really?
I didn't see. It was horrible. He's overthrown everybody. I mean, he's all off target. He just looked like Mac Jones, you know, as a freshman. I don't know, but yeah.
Looks like what you would expect an Alabama quarterback to look
right.
Like.
So I don't know what's going on, but I think a lot of it's going to hinge on what New York does. You know, if they did,
right.
They're already talking that they're talking about, you know, getting rid of Darnold, but there hasn't been a whole lot of suitors for him from what I hear, but who knows?
That's it. Will Fuller.
Yes.
Was that. I kept wanting to say, and then I called a Megatron. Obviously that was wrong. I got too many wide receivers in my head.
That's Calvin Johnson.
Kenny Golladay went to New York. I was trying to call him Megatron. He's
right.
Babytron. He goes to New York. I was trying to put him in Miami. Will Fuller's in Miami. It's a whole thing. Up
yeah.
is down.
Will Fuller.
Left
thing,
is right.
But the thing is, Will Fuller, he's great for those 4 weeks of the year, but you just got to guess which ones they are.
Well, and it was bothering him last year. He didn't get hurt, so he had to get popped on that PED suspension.
Exactly.
Or he was in grave.
He was getting tired.
He was in grave, grave danger of playing 16 games, and he couldn't have that. So.
No.
But it'll be interesting. The Jets, the whole Sam Darnold thing is going to be interesting to see play out. It seems to be me now. He could be had for a third-round pick. Now, he's in the last year of that rookie deal. You're probably going to have to pay him. I don't know what the market looks like for him. There's a lot of quarterback-starved teams. I don't know why we started treating third-round picks like surefire future Hall of Famers. If I got to give up a third-round, if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, if I'm Las Vegas. I'm trying to think. Teams in that kind of realm.
How about
there.
Houston?
How about New England? How
Houston
about you?
May not even have a quarterback.
Well, yeah. They brought in your boy Tyrod Taylor, though, so they're set for years
well,
and years to
true.
Come, no matter what happens with Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
And we're going to get into that later. Just a little preview for you guys. I'm going to make it a little bit awkward at the end of the show. But
I kind of doubt will feel awkward.
He might. He's the sensitive type. You won't care. I'll be lucky you don't fall asleep in the middle of it. I mean, you'll be in your 14th beer by the time we get to that. And so it could. How long have we been on? Do we need to take a commercial yet?
It's only been 15 minutes, hasn't it?
Feels like it's been an hour.
36 minutes.
How many?
It's a 36.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Boy, time flies when you're just having a blast.
I think it's commercial time, then,
all
isn't
right.
it? So let's take a break. When we come back, you gave me a little sneak peek that we have heard from our favorite golf writer, and I'd like you to hit me to that. So we're going to sell some coffee, and we'll come back with an update on that right after this.
Let's talk about our sponsor, Dead Sled Coffee. Dead Sled Coffee strives to create a culture of acceptance and respect no matter what your level of coffee knowledge is. They are distinguished coffee for the exceptional and unconventional. They offer amazing products that do not require your dictionary or your atlas to appreciate. Feel comfortable ordering their coffee and know that it is not a crime if you do not know where the beans came from or where it was processed. They have done all the work for you, having slurped and sniffed through endless cuppings, so you can just sit back and enjoy your coffee experience. Not sure what to try? Well, try some of their new signature blends, the Robert England blend, the Kiss blend, and the Cypress Hill blend. Go to deadsledcoffee.com. Use the promo code DEADSLED15 and take 15% off your order. DEADSLEDCOFFEE.com. And hey, tell them Fligger and Briggs sent you.
This might be the only show in the country where the most entertaining part is the commercial breaks, because this boob cannot figure it out to save his life. Defend yourself.
Pass.
Hard pass.
No, not a hard pass, just a pass.
So you all didn't get to hear this, but before the show, the little bit of preparation we do for it
extensive.
Is, yes.
It is extensive.
Because as anybody who's been listening from the beginning of Chaos and Disorder has heard, he certainly cannot handle running the bed music in and out and do the commercial at the same time. That's been complete and utter failure.
Accurate.
And so there was a discussion then. So as always, as the talent, I stepped up to save the day again. I picked up my cape from the laundromat. Thank you very much. And said, all right, you just do one. You pick the one you can handle best, and I'll take care of the other. And so for a couple weeks, that went relatively smoothly. As I handled the bed music, and he hit the commercial. Well, today he's feeling it. He says, you know what? And here's my favorite part. He goes, it's much simpler for me, and you'll recall this, Rick.
Yep, 100%.
It's much simpler for me to fade the music in and out than it is for you, so you run the commercial.
Much.
So as you heard going into the commercial, that was a pretty good fade. That was a fade. Here, I'm going to fade myself. I'm talented. I'm like a voice actor. I'm going to fade myself the way faded me. Yes. That was his fade. Just hard stop. And then he decided, you know what? I want a do-over. So he pods the music back up so he can fade it in the middle of the damn commercial. What was that?
I don't actually know that it came through that way.
It came through my headphones.
Hmm. Interesting.
So unless you have some magical send only to my headphones, and I know your dumb ass
doesn't
know
how
to do
so
that.
I guess he was just messing with it too.
There's actually a button over there for that, but there is no way you know what that is, nor am I ever going to let you touch it.
It's this black one right here.
Don't touch that.
The whole studio will explode.
So I am very much looking forward to the next commercial break. So
yes.
you get that. That's a nice part. You always get a second chance. Keep swinging. Shoot or shoot. Or I almost called him up by his religion again. Shoot or shoot, Finkelstein. So keep shooting.
You remember the last time the Pens won a Stanley Cup?
A few years ago, yes.
Yeah, when they just blasted pucks at the net.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. So eventually one's going to trickle in is what you're saying.
Yep, well, that's how I roll.
Let's hope
if you watch hockey, most of the good teams that win the Stanley Cup, that's what they do.
Right.
Get the rubber towards the net and see what happens. The Penguins, the last few, of course, they're rolling right now, but you know the last few years, they've been insufferable. Waiting for that perfect shot, and then they turn it over and give up a shorthanded goal or whatever the case may be. Boy, it's been their undoing. But I tell you what, they've been playing some pretty good hockey.
You know what I worry? I still don't know how they have like 6 games in hand on Boston. I don't know how that happened. I don't know. Did Boston have a COVID pause or something? So I got a feeling they could go, we're going to think they're fine, and then those other 6 games will come. And, of course, Boston won't lose them. And so...
But Pittsburgh, as long as they keep winning, they're going to be okay.
Yeah,
but
that's all you got to do. Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
I've got, before we get to one of the favorite segments that we have, is when our favorite journalist, Kyle Porter puts out an extravaganza of excitement.
Oh, an extravaganza of excitement,
I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a quiz.
Oh, all right. I don't do well on tests.
WWE quiz.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready, Alejandro?
Go.
Okay, now I have the top 8
False.
Here. So, but the question is, what wrestler has won the most matches as WWE champion?
what wrestler has won the most matches as W?
Yeah, which means they have to be champion for these wins to count.
So it's somebody relatively recent is going to be my guess, because in my younger days, you only saw the champion, say a Hulk Hogan, once a month on Saturday night main event and on pay-per-views. Otherwise, he didn't actually wrestle, unless they're counting house shows. I know it was different back then.
I'm sure house shows do count because the totals are quite high. It's not just television victories.
Specify as far as WWE champion, because they have 57 different belts now.
Perhaps
no,
the champion.
No, the world champion.
Okay.
WWE champion.
So that might be a tell, because Mr. Briggs is unaware that there's now a Raw and SmackDown
Correct.
Champion.
Well, yeah, but see, that's is a bit of a tell, because it is not, you know, being the Raw champion isn't world champion. It's the W. They
it
still
now.
Have a WWE title, though. See, that's the thing.
I don't think. They have the Universal, and then they have, SmackDowns.
Ends. So that
yeah,
is a,
that one's
that is
the actual WWE heavyweight champion. The other's the Universal. I don't remember which brand belongs to
which. So that is a tell. You have to go to the WWE World Championship.
Because I still only tune in for the 6 minutes a week where the Fiend
Lee
and Alexa Bliss are
Alexa
harassing
Bliss,
Randy Orton.
I'm going to go spoiler alert. I heard that Bray's brother showed up.
Are they postulating that was his brother?
Yeah, that was Bo Dallas.
Also, it wasn't even Bray in the
correct
in the burn up suit. Did you see this?
Oh yes,
that was so good. He just stood there and his arms up.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Anyways, I'm going CM Punk because I think that was before Universal.
I'm going to go. Actually, we just mentioned his name, so this
For Alejandro.
Ooh.
I'm going to go, I just said his name, just based on the number of titles he's had. I'm going to go with Randy Orton.
Hmm.
You only had to push it 3 times that time. Twice. That wasn't too bad. Who's are we in the right
area? I will
give
you a ding-ding if you hit one of the top 8.
One of the top 8?
Yes.
Undertaker.
Or he won't. John Cena?
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't think of Cena.
Okay.
Number 4 with 298 victories as WWE champion.
That's a good pull. I didn't think of him. He had that title for a long time. Because it's got to be somebody in the Raw. Most of these guys have to be in the Raw era, I would think, with them being on and fighting every single week.
Stone
Cold.
You
also have to remember, and I'm trying to help you guys out, you know, it does cover some eras. I mean, remember, they used to wrestle 300 days out of the year, and these house shows counted.
Well,
so.
Then Ric Flair has to be in there, because he was a champion for about 40 years. No.
Well, no, he's NWA, you know, in WCW. See, he wasn't.
Oh, this is strictly a
Bruno.
WWE,
right, okay. Yes.
Bruno.
Number 3. And 434 victories.
So there was 2 guys more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And CM Punk still holds the record, I think, for longest title reign.
Really?
Oh, I don't think
I
so.
I didn't know.
My
I
God,
wasn't watching
Bruno
at all.
Bruno held it forever.
Well, I'm pretty sure. That's it. I'm looking it up. I think that was one of the things, going back to your comment about WWE wanting somebody that is pure promotion WWE. And they put it on Punk for well over a year as a full-time wrestler, asterisk Brock Lesnar having it for like 12 years.
Yeah, and never actually wrestling.
I don't want to look it up because that might give away something.
Yeah. I'll give you guys a couple more guesses so we don't spend too much time on this.
Yeah, I'm getting bored already.
Yeah.
I guess Hulk Hogan. I mean, just based on as long as he had the title.
Number 2.
Oh,
497 wins.
So we're getting closer. Did you ever respond to his Stone Cold answer?
Yeah, he said no.
I didn't hear him.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I thought you
hit
no.
Oh, maybe I did. I'm sorry.
Stone
Cold's not up
there
now.
All right, give me era here for number 1.
Before our time.
I'm going to say probably late 70s into the 80s.
Yeah, see, I'm out.
I'd say Andre, but I don't think that's right.
No. Bob Backlund, 504.
Yes.
Hulk's number two, Bruno's three, Cena's four. Bret Hart, number five.
I was going to guess him, too.
240. Macho Man, number six at 157.
That was his only one, wasn't it?
Well,
he only had the belt one time.
Yeah. AJ Styles, 153, and Pedro Morales at 148.
I'd have never got to AJ Styles.
I didn't think he had won. No, I didn't either.
I knew he'd had it at various times, but all these guys now, even if they have the belt, are wrestling every week. So
yeah, but the thing is, they only keep it for a month or so.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, that thing changes hands twice an episode.
But anyway, let's switch to golf.
Ah, yes.
We're our favorite journalist with an extravaganza of excitement yet again. As he slurps on yet another goal.
Oh, he's got a new bow, huh?
Yes, he does. Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, man, you're going to
No. There. This is unacceptable.
Now, this is,
there goes Finkelstein's
this is nothing but sheer excitement and thrills in this whole article.
Oh, okay.
He does not hold a candle.
Bryson DeChambeau may not break Augusta National, but he could reveal some cracks in golf.
Oh,
that's the title.
Wow.
Oh, okay, I'm listening.
I'm just going to read this.
Yeah,
this is a great read.
You can't do it justice. You need to just read it.
There are a handful of specific and hotly contested debates in the golf world right now that have yet to reach a decisive endpoint. Naturally, the most disruptive player in the sport since Tiger Woods seems to encompass them all.
Oh.
When Bryson DeChambeau claimed last fall that Augusta National Golf Club played as a par 68 for him, he intentionally corked the pressure chamber you have to live in when it comes to golf's most prestigious event. In doing so, he also enraged a certain subsection of golf fans. By lowering his ostensible average score, he raised expectations for the rest of his career when it comes to performing at a place where, to date, he has yet to perform that well. Following a bizarre tied for 34th, why is it bizarre? It was Augusta National.
Yeah.
Following a bizarre tie for 34th in which he said he was dizzy and possibly even a bit constipated.
What? I remember the dizzy. I don't remember the constipated.
There are questions going to be at this year's Masters. Most notable among them is whether the man who's trying to crack the code of everything he looks at can possibly do so at the old nursery in Augusta, Georgia, where the magic may run even stronger than his will to be the best player in a generation full of great ones.
Oh, wow. He's going to be the best player in a generation.
Here's a non-exhaustive list of peculiar traits about DeChambeau on the golf course that have at least raised an eyebrow or two about whether he's upending the natural order of golf
its
future.
Damn it.
He studies greens books like Bible scholars study ancient scrolls.
Yes!
He locks his arm onto his putter, a move Rory McIlroy noted after the U.S. Open.
Hell yeah.
He is trying to live at 200 miles an hour with his ball speed off the tee.
Ooh.
He carries long irons just in case.
Oh, just in case.
He is presumably trying to eliminate hitting long irons.
I'm a bad man.
He plays clubs that are all the same length.
No.
He is taking heretofore unfathomable lines with his driver.
Wait, let's say that again. Unfathomable lines.
He is taking heretofore unfathomable lines with his driver.
Forthwith.
No, there's no with in it. Heretofore.
Never mind.
He has forced the PGA Tour to put internal out of bounds into play at multiple events.
Ooh. Eternal out of bounds. That's
internal.
Like, oh, internal.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
Can DeChambeau overturn Augusta National with this skill set? And if so, will he upend the sport in the process?
Oh, he's going to ruin it. He's going to end golf.
If DeChambeau,
your bun's going to end golf.
If DeChambeau winning action. The U.S. Open at Wingfoot was an inflection point after which the USGA and R&A made their strongest joint statement to date about reigning in the equipment arms race, then what manner of debate and rhetoric be engendered by him shooting 22 under at Masters and winning by 7?
I'm just about that action, boss.
Green reading books are famously not allowed at Augusta National, and that's one theory about why DeChambeau's best finish at a Masters in 4 attempts remains the tie for 21st. He notched as an amateur in 2016. He claims to be unaffected by this reality, but the actual data says this is not true.
Put him on the board. Kausha Mazzoli. Got it. Championship.
Quoting, growing up in college, we didn't have greens books, and I played well then, said DeChambeau.
Brilliant.
I've played well here the last couple years and gotten pretty comfortable with the greens. It is another aspect of it, but at the end of the day, I still go based off of my intuition most of the time.
What? DeChambeau doesn't sound like that.
I go, okay, I think it looks a little like this, end of quote. The times were...
Didn't sound like him.
No.
What?
That was a terrible DeChambeau impression.
I don't care. Continuing the quote, the times where I've putted best have been where my intuition is matched up with reality and what is actually doing, because sometimes they can be wrong. The greens books can be wrong, and that's what I putted my best. Like at Wingfoot, those greens and slopes, there's no way I could average out all those slopes in the book. End of quote. Another theory is that, I cannot believe I'm saying this, Augusta National is actually too easy for him.
Oh!
Yeah,
damn it,
Kyle!
Damn it!
Yeah. His last two wins have come at nasty setups with tough rough that exacerbates his strength advantage because he's able to slice through it at rates of speed other players cannot and with shorter irons than anyone else plays. There's another world in which Augusta is actually too short for him. Again, that sounds insane, but consider what he said after last year's disappointing finish.
Do it right.
Quoting again. We're going to try and work a golf ball that will fit it a little better with my wedges, said DeChambeau. This week, I'd hit wedges in. On one, I hit one, and it spun 30 feet back and off the green. I can't hit anything less than what I did. It was a 110-yard shot, and I took it back halfway and threw and went through, and it spun back 30 feet. I've got to work on some ball stuff.
The show title. Ball stuff.
I've gone through the whole club
scenario.
Gotta
work on it.
That's as much as I can do there, so hopefully we can come up with a ball that will do some more things that will be helpful. End quote.
Things and stuff. This is why I like him.
Half the on-course characteristics that DeChambeau employs may either be illegal or impossible 20 years from now, and somewhat ironically, DeChambeau winning a Masters may accelerate them into extinction.
Oh, no. The Augusta's going away because of DeChambeau?
Some of the stuff that he does, like carrying long irons, apparently. Ugh. But that begs the question. It always begs a question.
It does beg a question, yeah. Kyle Porter doesn't answer any questions. He begs
Can
the
he
shit
actually
out of
win a Masters? Based on what he's been able to do and how Augusta sets up for him, it seems like an inevitability. However, you could create a Hall of Fame filled with golfers for whom a green jacket appeared an inevitability that never actually hung one in their closet. I do hope DeChambeau contained the magic running through that place, though. I hope he can redirect whatever it is about Augusta that makes you feel like you are outside of your own body into a weekend run that no one will ever forget. I hope he brings number 13 to its knees and in a moment of pure hubris tries to drive the 18th green. Here's why.
Oh, God, he goes on.
Almost done.
Let's go.
Bryson DeChambeau winning Augusta National remains the most combustible scenario in the game, and thus one worthy of our rooting interest. For all the chatter about the big boy trying to break everything he sees, winning Augusta dramatically and by a wide margin would reverberate up and down the sport for decades.
Decades.
Because he's innovative and brash and loud. A win at Augusta National might not break Bobby Jones's and Clifford Roberts' crown jewel, but it might do something more important. It might reveal that the sport of golf and its trajectory is currently constructed has already been broken.
When, boy? When?
I told you it was an extravaganza of excitement.
Wow. Just
this guy is a kook.
Yeah, I think it's just as simple as that.
Let me surmise. DeChambeau.
Yeah, I don't like your horny whisper over there.
No, I don't like the sexual.
You prefer that?
How would Bryce,
you prefer that?
His
over...
reading style is worth it to me. He could read the phone book
That's
if
true.
He read it
That's
like
true.
That.
That's true.
And I wish, as much as I never want to go video, this is where I wish, because if you could just see the gesticulation as he's reading this, combined with the disgust on his face while he's doing it. It's tremendous.
It's an extravaganza of excitement. As pathetic as it is.
Why in God's name, other than guys, some of these old heads, why would this be the end of golf as we know it if Bryson DeChambeau won the freaking Masters? I mean, is DeChambeau really the first guy who tried to win just by hitting it further than everybody else? I mean, Tiger Woods, the only difference there is that's what Tiger Woods did. Remember, we've Tiger-proof courses all over America. It's just that he had a good short game, too. Right. I mean, what are you talking about here?
I actually watched a video on YouTube just the other day, and I can't remember the pro's name. He's a pro golfer. He was at Baldersroll with the club champion and I think the club pro, you know. They were recreating the one iron that Jack Nicklaus hit in the U.S. Open in 67 from 240-some-odd yards out from, you know, on this one hole. I forget the hole. And they had the exact model of the Jack Nicklaus, you know, the one iron that he used.
Okay.
But they had modern golf balls, and they made this clear. He says, you know, he used some Bellotta Titleist. These guys hit balls. They were like 40 yards short, you know, with that stuff. He goes, that's why Jack's Jack. Well, that's why Tiger was Tiger.
Right.
I mean, because no matter that you have equipment improvements, they're still the same for everybody in that era. And that's why Hogan was Hogan, Jack was Jack, you know, Tiger was Tiger. Yeah, DeChambeau's long. Do you remember 20 years ago, nobody could come close to John Daly?
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't come close to him.
We'd never
seen
anything.
And if he was sober now, he'd probably be pretty close to DeChambeau.
Just think of what you could do if you were sober now.
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to read it that straight-faced.
Well, that's true. That was... So it's the alcohol that makes you such a cunning orator, then, is what you're saying.
No, it keeps me from just breaking into hysterical laughter reading this shtick.
Well, and this guy is supposedly a knowledgeable golf writer, right?
Oh, yeah,
Even I know, I'm an idiot. I've watched maybe five golf tournaments a year. That's the allure, other than the aesthetics of it. That's the allure of Augusta. It is the one track in America you can't just go in and overpower. And everybody who's watched 15 minutes of the golf in their life knows that. So this doesn't blow up the establishment if it wins. If anything, it means it shows... Wow, he can evolve into whatever player he needs to be, because if he goes in and just tries to overpower Augusta, we know what's going to happen.
He'll be tied for 21st or 30th again, like he has been.
This is why it happened. It's not because he can't study his green book like the Bible or whatever this dickhead said. Yeah. That's not what it is. That's not how you can play Augusta, and everybody knows it. Great reading, and I love the douchery of it, but that is the stupidest, most pointless article ever written.
I agree. It
shows a lack of a base knowledge of the Masters.
The thing about this guy is he goes from severe slurpage from player to player week after week. I mean, it's not even like season after season, you know. you know, it takes a year. It's like this week, this guy, Jordan Spieth. I mean, this is like the third article
in a
month.
Yeah, it was Tiger and then Spieth and now.
Yeah, now it's DeChambeau. Yeah.
So as far as the Masters go, let's do some betting here. Would you rather
$7?
Would you rather take DeChambeau?
Gross.
Give me Dustin Johnson.
Hang on, I'm going to give you three: Jordan Spieth or Morikawa.
Spieth.
Jordan Spieth is plus 1200 on FanDuel. DeChambeau is 900.
Okay.
I'm going Morikawa at 2200.
Oh, you didn't give us the odds. I mean, if we're betting, I might go for the 2200.
And but I'd honestly think this may be Spieth's tournament, and here's why. He has been so painstakingly close several times this year, where all of this fell apart was at Augusta. Was that on a Sunday where he just, what hole was it where he just kept dumping and he had his tin cup moment? That's where it never came back. So it just feels like it all comes together with this, no Tiger. I think it's almost a guarantee he wins. I may get on the FanDuel and take that plus 1200 for that reason.
Here's one thing to bear in mind. Now, he didn't play in 17. I think he might have been injured or whatever. Dustin Johnson, 2015, tied for 6th. 16, tied for 4th. 18, tied for 10th. 19, tied for 2nd. That guy can play Augusta.
You think if he wasn't such a dud of a personality, we'd be talking about him more as one of the greatest of all time? I think when you look at his results, he could be in that. I don't want to be, you know, everything that's happening now is the greatest that ever happened. That's not what I'm saying, but he could be in that conversation. But I think he is such a dolt, just such a lack of personality. Yeah, you don't think of him in those
regards.
You go
back 30 years, and it's Nick Faldo all over again. I mean, he was considered a freaking robot. He won like 3 Masters, 2 or 3 British Opens. You know, I mean, the guy was, for a few years, people didn't think he was human.
Right.
I mean, he just, you know, he never faltered. He just never got rattled. And, yeah, Dustin Johnson's a lot like that. He there's no flamboyance. There's really no personality.
You don't get the fist pump. I mean, I still argue, you know, number one, golf greatness. But number two, that fist pump is what made Tiger Woods a multi-billionaire. Just that personality that you didn't always have in golf. And Dustin Johnson, he could make that 30-foot putt to win the Masters, and he wouldn't even react. He'd do the hat tip and off
Tiger
of his hot
Woods
wife into the clubhouse.
Tiger Woods came at the perfect time, at the end of basically what that quote-unquote golden era, when all those guys were getting old. And everybody was a dullard.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Tiger came on. I was like, wow, okay, we can root for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, because he had emotion. I mean, he came across as a douche at times.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But he was fiery. He was always, you know, he could be angry at times. He could be mopey. He could be happy, ecstatic. But it was always something.
Right.
Instead of just this, you said, I mean, like, they're like that cartoon Droopy, that little dog. You know what? Yeah, I mean,
That was a good impression.
That was good.
I mean, I don't remember what Droopy sounded like, but I have to think it was that. But Brooks Koepka's the same way, right? He's just a block of wood is all he is. Again, great golfer, tremendous, but just a dud, just a zero.
No doubt.
All right, well.
Better take a break.
Yeah, I think we ought to hear from the chop shop here. So I'm going to let him get ready. Let's see. I'm going to give him lots of time. There it is. All right. So then I'm going to say something. I'm going to hit the commercial, and then you're going to fade the music. And then you're not going to play it again until the commercial's over, not in the middle of it.
We'll be right back.
So, well, you just hold on. We want to give him lots of time. So we're going to take a break here from the chop shop.
Is it a beer break?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
And I'm going to make it a little bit awkward up here in the studios when we are back right after this.
We would like to take this opportunity to tell you about our sponsor and friends, the Chop Shop in Butler, Pennsylvania. The Chop Shop is leading the way in the Western Pennsylvania area for good eats. With fresh menus, great specials, in-house made desserts, and the recently added iced tea, lemonade, and milkshake bar, you are sure to find something to fulfill that craving or hankering, and even a little something extra for that sweet tooth. Yep, they even have gluten-free and vegetarian options as well. You know, between Facebook, Google, Yelp, and TripAdvisor, they average 4.7 out of 5, and that's over a 10-year span, so they are consistently killing it. You can check them out on Facebook, but also at chopshopbutler.com. or do yourself a favor and visit them at 108 North Main Street, Butler, Pennsylvania, and tell them Flager and Briggs sent you.
You can't make this stuff up. You can't.
We have to get video. There's just no getting around it.
So after that lengthy discussion.
Great guitar solo. Hang on.
All right. Go ahead.
At Rival Lovers on Twitter.
Indeed. Great fade once again.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't doing a fade after fade. That.
That was beautiful. I like that.
So once again, I
guess
gave
the
him
song just ended. Right?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's how it ends.
I gave explicit instructions on how this was going to go. He was going to play the music. I was going to hit the commercial, and he was going to fade the music at such time as I played the commercial. What did he do? He played the music. I pushed the commercial button. He got up and walked away.
I asked.
Did not take into account. He was out of beer.
I specifically asked. Beer break. You said yes.
Well, I assume you knew that meant
break.
After you fade.
Beer break.
I guess once he calls beer break, nothing else matters.
Wait, are you calling, for another beer break?
Yeah, please.
One thing I can say, Alejandro, if Flager is going to make it uncomfortable more than Kyle Porter just did, this ought to be good.
Well, it's not going to be good. It just might be awkward. Like I said, not to you, but he's a bit of a sensitive Sally type. Well, and so what's going to happen? He's going to take this as a personal attack, and like a real one, not these other things we did.
I don't know if I have music for this.
I don't think you need music
okay.
for it. But we'll see how it evolves. So when we started the show, Rick, any show, I always start kind of with the same speech, but this one specifically. You know, I do this, right, this dumb podcast in this broke dick studio with you two
it's
morons.
It's a nice studio.
Well, it is a nice studio. Only because since I was a kid, and it's weird, since I was a kid, I just loved talk radio. You know, everybody else, you know, locally, if you're in the local area, everybody was listening to B94 and 105.9. Yeah, not me. I was listening to freaking KDKA. Moses did. I didn't understand or didn't care about. I just liked talk radio.
Right.
Rush Limbaugh, I'd drive around and listen to him just because it was talk radio. Again, 90% of the time, I didn't know or care what he was talking about.
You remember the Sports Babe? You remember her?
No, I don't. Oh, I remember Thor Tolo on KDKA. Yeah. That was my first indoctrination into sports talk radio. And then Howard Stern comes along and... You know, most people, and I among them, listen to Howard Stern, number one, because of the porn stars and the Sibian and what teenage boy didn't like that. But I just like the interviews, the talk radio, the sit around, the honest talk, just guys sitting around talking about stuff honestly. And then, you know, it goes into, you know, later on with Don and Mike and Opie and Anthony and Big O and Dukes and now kind of what I'd like to model this show off of, the Sports Junkies, where it's loosely a sports show, but they just talk about
right.
it. This is just what it's such a nerdy thing. I guess I'm a radiophile and I love it. And that's why I like doing this, because we can just get in here, three awful human beings and two really bad human beings being you and I. But what I always
you're getting a lot of credit, Alejandro.
But what
or
I
was, no, even less credit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't even count as a bad person. You know,
nice,
you're just sort of around.
He's so nice. So yeah.
And I think that's why we had success early on. For those of you who don't know, if you haven't listened since the beginning, you know, Briggs and I started out doing fantasy football back. Really before fantasy football, especially podcasts, you know, broke out into the mainstream and it became the domain of the nerd. We had a lot of success.
It was like you and Mark Maron.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe Joe Rogan.
Right.
Yeah. I put ourselves on that level, certainly. So you know, and we started out there and we did really well. But what we did was, you know, a lot of fantasy talk. But a lot of just this horse shit you hear here every day now. And there was an audience for it. The story I always remember, I love telling this story, is we get so comfortable. You know, this isn't put on. This is how we talk to each other. And that's what I like about this medium, how two guys talk. Do you remember that episode and you just sat there and ate a bag of chips? Through the crunching into the microphone. And
I was hungry.
It didn't dawn on either one of us that perhaps that shouldn't be happening during a recorded broadcast, just because that's how, but in my mind, that says how real the talk was. We don't even think about stuff like that. And so then as the, as the nerds took over and it became all about analysis and the daily fantasy come in, we got squeezed out. So I think this is kind of the perfect scenario for us. So I say all that to say this. So last week, all right, we did a segment you didn't hear.
Right.
We did a segment about the Deshaun.
I noticed that.
We did a segment about the Deshaun Watson situation. It was not PC, I guess. I don't think it was inappropriate, but it didn't fall into whatever 23-year-old liberal arts majors would consider PC now. I think it was an honest conversation between two guys, one dullard and one angry old man still seeing the world through his 1968 lens, and had a conversation.
I'm quite offended now. I am woke, realize
well,
that.
Apparently not. So
I woke up this morning. I'm going to bed pretty soon.
At this point, if you woke up this morning, is pretty much the standard of success that you need to have. I will give you that. So I think we kind of asked some questions. I don't think we said much definitively, but we asked some questions that just an average guy would ask, said some things that an average guy would be wondering and thinking about. And so after the show, you know, we kind of had the discussion. Everybody's buttholes were a little tight afterwards. You know, should we air this? Should we put that out there? Is this going to get us canceled? And we, you know, tentatively, loosely decided it was worth putting out there. And then Finkelstein and I did the text thing or the tweet thing, or I don't remember what we were talking
text.
On. And Finkelstein, apparently on his ride home from the studio, his butthole got really tight and decided that it might not be such a good idea. Now, I deferred to him because I'm so dumb. I'd listened back to the whole thing, and I didn't hear anything that was offensive. But that doesn't mean something maybe.
And I was frankly quite shocked that it wasn't. I wasn't privy to your conversation, and when I did listen to the show...
To be fair, it was 9:30, so there would have been no way to include you in that conversation.
But my point is, I was shocked that it was not included.
Yeah, yeah. So decided, with the conversation being in this day and age, and if we wanted to have sponsors and grow, we can't have conversations like this. So it got me to thinking, who are we? Meaning... Are we going to bow to this? Is this who we're going to be? That we can't sit around and have an honest conversation? What's the line? You know, are we trying to... What separates us as two cretins, awful, horrific human beings that, as far as entertainment, if we have to bring it down to what all these 23-year-old green-haired kids think about what we're allowed to say, what do we offer? We don't have a specialty. We are three guys sitting around talking like three guys talk, which is what I like. How far do we get down this rabbit hole where we let these conversations be limited and taken away? And I got to be honest, it's been bugging me all week. Not necessarily that we made that decision and that, you know, I'm not picking on Finkelstein here because I kind of went his way. But I honestly wonder, what's that line? And if we're not going to toe that line or jump over it, what is it? Who are we? What the hell are we doing here? If you could stop texting for a minute and be a part of the conversation.
Well, I mean, I was listening to everything you said. I was covering some bases for the show and in future, you know, endeavors. But no, I agree with you 100%. I told you, I was shocked that it wasn't part of the show, and I listened to it because, you know, it was late. It was my bedtime, and I wasn't privy to the conversation.
Right. Again, anything that happens after 9 p.m., we just leave
so,
you out.
Exactly. But... No, I agree with you. I know who I am. I am a grumpy old man that has a view of the world that is probably different than, you know, what you just mentioned. But to your point, nothing was said that was offensive or disparaging. They were just honest questions.
That's what I thought.
Simple as that.
So, are we that show that doesn't have that conversation?
So, the ball's in your court.
I get it. I like you finding that off-ramp where this has got nothing to do with me.
I was sleeping soundly.
Well, that's true. Again, it was after 9 p.m. Here's the thing that bugs me with this, to where, at the end, it was probably the right decision, right? Again, we didn't say anything I would consider offensive, but me saying this is a pen is, in all likelihood, is offensive to someone, even though, you know, it's a pen. Is pen okay to say? Can you confirm this?
It's kosher.
All right. Is kosher kosher?
I got you there. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
It is okay. You can't say okay anymore.
Yeah. Because here's my problem with it. Intent means nothing anymore. You can't have, you know, even debate is offensive. It used to be the debate to determine if something tangible was offensive or not kosher, since apparently we're allowed to say that. Here's the thing, you know, if people heard this, I said nothing that was, you know, what are the words, misogynistic, sexist, racist, anything like that. Neither did you, and even at your advanced age, that's impressive that for the most part. But here's the thing, here's what bothers me. I didn't not say, that's pretty good grammar there, right? But it's the only way, I didn't not say something.
It's a double negative.
But that's what you have to do in 2020/2021.
What say double negative?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, I have to, or it'll be offensive.
But if you didn't not say something, that means you actually did say something.
That's fair. So how do I say this?
I didn't say.
You're in a loop.
I don't not. Nah.
Not no never.
Let me finish this.
Okay.
And see if it makes sense to you. But now you're in my head. I don't not say offensive things on the air because I don't want them recorded and I don't want people hearing them. It's because for all the awful things I say and all the hideous human being I am, I don't say things like that in general. So it's not something I have to think about.
No, that's true.
It's not that I don't say racist things on the air because I could get canceled because of it. It's because I don't say racist things, or at least what is traditionally construed as all these things you're not supposed to do. You know, I think you can ask the question. I think you can have a conversation. And what worries me, I don't want to overblow this. I shouldn't say it worries me. Ultimately, we'll do whatever we want. It is good to be smart about things, and I get that. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but if you try to hurt nobody's feelings, we couldn't get a show on the air. But you know, what I really wonder, if you really take it out and we start bowing to the knee of the 23-year-old liberal arts majors, what are we left to talk about? Sports scores? I mean, what can we even talk about? There's no reason to listen to us. There's 8 billion shows out there on TV, on the radio, on the internet, on the podcast, doing just that. What sets us apart? We can't do fantasy football anymore because I refuse to look at numbers and you won't stop eating chips. So we can't do that. I don't know what we have left if we're not a place for true, honest conversation.
Let me put in a proviso. I will stop eating chips if they're not honey barbecue.
Is that what those chips were?
They were good.
You know what I recently discovered? Okay, this is why it's chaos and disorder, I guess. There's the chili something Doritos. Chili.
Oh, sweet chili.
Sweet chili. I thought they would be awful. Might be the greatest thing I ever ate in my life.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't had them. I have to try
them. I'm behind on a lot of these things. I just discovered Flaming Hot Cheetos. Big fan. I can only have them in limited bursts. But
I'm one of those kind of guys. I'm slow to jump into the new flavor.
Shocker. You're slow to adapt to something.
No, seriously. I mean, like, if I like, you know, like, I love cheese doodles. You know, I mean, you know, those puffy cheese.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that is a classic. So when they say, okay, there's going to be a whatever, jalapeno barbecue cheese, I'm like, you know, I mean, this is already perfect.
Put some squid in there, though. Them boys,
squid,
you'd be all
I mean,
over.
That's not. Yeah, exactly. But, no, I know what you're saying. Look, all we did was ask honest questions last week. And, you know, I'm sure I can guess which of the two of you decided to take it out.
That'd be me.
Yeah, that'd be you. But you're right. There's no, because look, I mean, we're horrible human beings.
True. Very
true.
But
we aren't racist. No. We just are down and dirty and simple.
Simple's a really good word.
Extremely simple. And, you know, if a question needs to be asked, why not ask it? Because, look, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a question only gets to you. Say, for example, you stole my wallet, okay? Just out of the blue, okay? You stole my wallet.
Okay.
And I walk in here and I say, you know, my wallet was on that desk. Alejandro, did you take it? No, why? See, that question doesn't bother him because he's truthful. But see, if you're trying to hide it, say you took it.
I see where you're going.
You know, did you take my wallet? Why would you ask me that?
Why would you accuse me
exactly.
of that, you old
see,
piece of crap?
See, that's where people get annoyed. You'd be because actually there's something being questioned and that they don't like. And I'll throw it out there. There is a segment of the population out there that already wants him hung out to dry and never be employed again.
Oh, certainly.
And there's another section out there that say all these girls are lying.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, all we're doing is asking simple questions to try to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should stop doing that.
You know what? And I get it. You know, as we try to grow this thing and especially try to bring on advertisers, I know companies are jumpy. But can we be the bastion? Can I be the first to say to everybody in just listening or potential advertisers or current, social media ain't real life. What they define as a backlash, 5,000 people bitching about something on Twitter, ain't real life. These people weren't going to consume your product to begin with. These people are just looking for the next one. Within an hour, they will forget about you. And how many, you know, if even 100,000 people on Twitter are pissed off about something, how many people are in this country? How many people are in this world? I know you're trying to thread a needle here. I get it.
Right.
But I don't want us to get to the side where we get paralyzed by, and I know this sounds, I'm picking something to bitch about where I spend half this show talking about porn and your alcoholism and his, you know, notorious, you know, hallucinogenic drug use. So it's not that we've gone completely Pollyannish
here. How he smiled about that.
Yeah.
He was very proud of that.
He's
fact.
Not, he doesn't deny it.
No denying.
So
I agree.
I did it, and I thought nothing of it. I thought he was right, and it stuck in my craw all week, and I got a big craw, and it was just stuck in there. And I just wanted
you
to throw it.
I do.
Well, yeah. And I just wanted to throw it out there.
I agree, and yeah. I don't think that we should back off from anything that is just honest, simplistic asking. You know,
right.
Trying to get to something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because, again, to the point I think we both made, nothing deliberately, certainly offensive is going to be said, you know.
Ever.
Because I don't say it in real life. I don't feel it. And I don't want to be hemmed in. You know, if I'm working for corporate radio, remember when we used to thought that would happen, right? We'd turn this into a job at a radio station and we'd be set. Then
boy can be president.
You know,
another show where he sings.
Yeah, it's every week. I like that. Maybe it's just its own segment.
I think so.
But you know, but here, this is us. This is ours. I don't want to have the tethers on. I really don't.
I don't either. I agree 100%.
But it's also good to have somebody who's
a buffer.
Well, I don't know about a buffer. You know,
who's
plugged into
a damper.
You just hypersensitive?
You know how, like, you take, like, a big...
Well, you're going to get your damper zinging. Go ahead.
Nope.
Like, you know how if you got a big ball of toilet paper.
Okay.
Three-ply.
That's what I'm talking about.
And put it over to microphones.
Right. Okay.
You know, that's what he is.
All right.
Okay.
Do we need that?
Apparently.
Can we go to one-ply?
According to him.
Oh, Scott. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the old cheap Scott stuff. Yeah. Like sandpaper.
Oh, yeah, that one. That was bad.
Hey, I'm going to give you guys a quick quiz.
Another quiz.
Before we're out of here.
Okay. I didn't even prepare.
Only two times, because they're talking about this year, there could be a possibility of the first three picks going quarterbacks.
Okay.
Since 1971, only two times has that ever happened.
Okay. Oh, boy, you're going to make me think back now. You know how much I hate the draft, too, but I probably should know this.
You probably won't get it, but you will remember them.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not the first one. The first one was actually 1971.
Oh, no.
Jim Plunkett, Archie Manning, Dan Pastorini, 1, 2, and 3.
All right.
The next and only other time has been 1999.
That wasn't much of a quiz, considering you gave both of us the answer.
Well, you're not going to get it anyway.
I was going to say it was the Ryan Leaf draft, but...
No. The infamous Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Achilles Smith.
And how many of those panned out?
Well, let's see. In that one, Donovan McNabb.
I call
McNabb
working out.
The first one, actually, all three.
Plunkett won a Super
Plunkett
Bowl.
Plunkett won.
Archie was great, just on a bad team.
Yeah, no, Pastorini is famous for the butt fumble.
I thought that was Mark Sanchez.
That was Mark Sanchez.
No. Dan Pastorini. Herm Edwards picked it up for the Eagles, ran it for a touchdown.
That wasn't a butt fumble, though.
Oh, no, actually, you're right. It was a handoff bumble. Yeah. You know, that's when they started kneeling it. That's what started the kneel.
Really?
Actually, yes.
Yeah, because they do show that. Yeah, because I wasn't familiar. Yeah. That was Dan Pastorini,
yep.
Nor was I familiar with his oeuvre.
Dan Patrick was good.
Which one?
The news anchor on ESPN.
Yeah.
Until he went.
I think it was Pastorini. I know he had a long career with the Oilers, I think.
The Oilers? So pre-Warren Moon, probably.
Yes.
Because when did Moon come in? Late 80s?
Yeah, because Pastorini, what, 71?
Oh,
so, yeah.
Yeah, 70. Yeah, I was thinking.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
never
he went to the Giants, and he was infamous for that. But anyway, I guess we're ready to go, right?
Did we say anything offensive?
No.
Another little trivia fact.
Oh God,
I thought it was over.
Did you know that Eli Whitney had 4 children?
I was unaware. I was not.
I just figured, you know, that was just a nice thing.
How does that even come to mind?
It's just trivia that I know.
Why do you know that?
I'm a history buff.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, let's... I wish everyone could see Finkelstein's face right now. So let's get out of here. If you're still listening, God, I don't know why, but thanks for doing that. We will be back next week, same time, same channel. Check out the show, Chaos and Disorder on the tweeters, Chaos and Disorder Podcast on Facebook. And if you have any suggestions for anything that might resemble entertainment, let us know at chaosanddisorderpod@gmail.com.
He keeps losing the damn wheel, or we could do it. But
It's broken.
Yeah, I guess.
Until next time.
Take care.
I didn't get to say we'll see you. You jumped me.
Yeah, well.
Until next time, we'll see you. No, you have to say it. I can't let us go until we do it. Until next time, we'll see you.
I did.
No, until next time, we'll see you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rival Lovers, for opening day appropriate, since opening day is Thursday. Unfortunately, Mr. Briggs did not want to bring that up tonight.
Well,
more censorship!
We live in the pirate
MLB!
Zone.
I won't stand for it.
Motor Dash!
Rabble, rabble, rabble. Goodbye.
Say it.